So let's all go to our Bibles. The Lord gave me this. I've been struggling for a number of days, and I was on a topic. I began to teach on a topic about faith, and I was trying to figure out on what angle. I was talking to my wife about the message yesterday, about what angle I should come on at the teaching I'd done previously, and I did do what I was supposed to do, but then again, the Lord, you know, He began to direct me another way, and we'll continue on with the other message. But also, this is what He wants us to learn this morning. And I heard out of my spirit as I was, falling closer to the Lord, and I heard the word spiritual growth. And so I want to encourage you to have spiritual growth this morning. And the word, so our topic is spiritual growth. And the message we entitled is, it's time to grow up, or time to grow up. I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read that for our text this morning. So if you have your Bible, I know that at home, you might be a little bit less, sometimes you're distracted, or you could just be alone, or you could be more comfortable in your pajamas or whatever. You could just be listening to this, and I want you to listen with all ears. And I'm hearing the word caution out of my spirit. There's somebody out there, you need to be cautious about something. I don't know what it is. Could be all of us, could be a number of people, could be several people, could be the church, could be whatever it is. The word for you this morning is cautious. Be caution. Be cautious about something that you're doing, something that you're arranging. I believe it's a rearrangement that you're making, a redirection. And there's something about being able to cope with your life. And so I'm getting. So thank God, I believe that there's going to be more coming out throughout this lesson this morning. So as an introduction, let's say some things here to get us started. Spiritual growth is an essential part of every believer's life. It's essential. It's a required that every person grows in the Lord. Everybody grows up. You know, we want everybody to grow in our family. We have children. We want them to develop, to have some kind of, wisdom, sense, and direction in life. We want them to be more on their own and be mature and so on. So God wants all of us to grow up. He wants us to be more mature in many, many ways. And I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But we all have something to do with our own spiritual development. So we can carry out the plans and purposes of God. So every one of us, we are responsible to God and to other people around us to develop and to grow up spiritually. We can't just be depending on somebody else for our prayers. I see this a lot of time. Even people that I admire, I just see some things on our Facebook and different things that people, they should be responsible for their own prayer life. You're responsible for your own praying, and there's different things. Sometimes you might need somebody else to pray with you and agree with you in prayer, but it's not wise to put out your prayer requests out on Facebook. It's a public domain. If you just want Christians, maybe you just have a Christian circle of Facebook or something, but not everybody's going to understand you, and maybe you're going to receive some backlash in some of those areas. But it's not a place to put that out there. So the devil will get a whole list of different things and attack you if you're not careful to disseminate your information, whatever is on your heart, and so people get into trouble. So be very wise how you ask for prayer. And when you should be asking for prayer. And the thing of why I said this is because every one of us, we're required to do our own praying for our own family, for our own needs. For instance, in Philippians 4 and 6 says that bring your requests to the Lord. He didn't say bring your neighbor's request or bring your mother's request or bring, everybody. Philippians 4, 6 is speaking to individuals to bring their own prayer time, whatever needs, to the Lord themselves. And so, and when you come out of that prayer closet, believe that you, God's got it and He's dealing with it. And act like it's so. Act like He's already dealt with it. Act, talk like it's done. and begin to make arrangements about it. And so that's called faith. And so what I see sometimes is that people are really not in faith. They're copying somebody, or they're imitating whatever somebody else did. So if you got real faith, there's a key. I was telling my wife last night, we were sleeping there, and, I mean, getting ready for bed and talking that night. And we talked about last week about 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4 and 5, where it talks about there that Paul told Timothy, don't teach all that stuff, all the genealogies and all the myths and all that kind of stuff, but teach faith. And teach the real faith that was given to you from those that you grew up around with. You know, people around you that are spiritual, they'll help you develop your faith. You know, you can't just get faith off somebody else. You can see them as an example, but you have to do the same things they did in order to get what they got themselves. You got to read the Bible for yourself. You got to pray for yourself. You got to release things for yourself. You got to start exercising your faith. And so we're responsible for our own faith life, our own development. No one can do it for you. This is one area that your mama can't do it for you, and no one can get all your praying done. You can't get all your prayer answers for done in one spot, you know. So you have to be able to take this to the Lord yourself. So there's a time we need to get serious about our prayer, our spiritual development. There's a time that we need to get very serious. And I believe this is a time and season right now that every one of us at home, wherever you are, need to get very serious about your spiritual development. You need to be able to hear God yourself. God's going to talk to you about some things, about your own family, about your own personal life, your own safety, that he's not going to tell everybody about. You know, God will talk to you. For instance, you know, I know that over in the past, I've heard other ministers talk about that God told someone to straighten themselves out in 3 or 4 areas. And well, they were responsible for a lot of people. They were pastors, the evangelists and prophets who were actually out there affecting a whole pile of people. So God spoke to this one other international minister to go talk to another international minister and tell them about some things that he was not listening in. So the man went and he wouldn't listen. And so he died, and he had a tremendous anointing, tremendous calling in his life, and he would not correct himself. And so he left before his time. I mean, he went to heaven, but the devil was able to get a hold of him and shorten his life before he actually could have, he could have lived longer. But so we need to be able to, you know, straighten ourselves out and listen. You know, we need to be teachable, that listen to people and hear them. And no matter if someone's younger than you or whatever, listen, hear what they have to say. And be humble about it and be kind to people. And it's not time to be gruff. You know, in this season right now, we're going through a season now. I was thinking about it. The Bible says that we're in the last days. It says that in the Bible. Read it. It says we are in the last days. A number of scriptures. I give you several scriptures about it. And we are in the last days. And this day, people are going to be hard, difficult kinds of people, hard to get along with, and abusive, and so on, and traitors, and so forth. And that's the spirit of Antichrist in the world working. If you're not careful as a Christian, you can pick that up and get into that, and get into all the fighting and all the political stuff going on. You can get into that spirit and start fighting yourself and forget about the fact that you're a Christian and get right in there. So be careful how you carry out your life, and God wants you to develop. So, spiritual growth is not automatic. It's not something that happens overnight just because you say, I'm going to grow up spiritually. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. It's not going to happen that way. It's not overnight. It's like you weren't physically grown overnight. It took some time. It took some nutrition. It took whatever it is to help you get to where you're at. And so the thing about it too, if you're in a mess, I mean, God can come in and do some tremendous work in a very quick time. But then there's something that you have to do to get out of some mess and make sure you don't go back in it. And so spiritual growth is like that. We don't develop overnight. It takes some time. So be patient. Put yourself under some care of people who love you, who care for you, who are actually doing the same things that you are, getting closer to God and knowing the times and knowing what to do. And so I'm going to encourage you to learn and grow and get under some teaching. You know, God put pastors in here for a reason. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, He put the ministry gifts, and they carry an extra layer of anointing to teach the word. Everybody can teach the word. Every one of us must teach the word. Every one of us must share what we know. But there is an anointing that comes on a pastor, on a minister of the gospel, that has a different ability to bring the word of God clear to people. And that's why we need, you know, you can feed yourself on Facebook. You might find somebody online and follow their teaching. But also, you know, if God has puzzled you, so to speak, into a church, into a group of people where He wants you to fit, then that's where you fit, and that's where He's going to feed you. That's where He's going to align you with the things of God, and that's where you're going to fit. That's where you're going to get the strength and all that stuff. And I mean, you can get strength other ways, but this is the best way to do it. I'm telling you, this is how to do it. And don't run away from things, you know. And just because things get difficult, don't run. The devil exactly wants you to do is run, so that he can get you, isolate you, and make you feel sorry for yourself. And the worst thing you can ever do is feel sorry for yourself, get into self-pity for a number of years, 25 years, and waste your time, and just be ineffective for God and not help anybody. I mean, you need to be serious about it. Come on, if you're in that particular situation, ask yourself, are you being effective where you are? Yeah, you might have shared a scripture or two here and there along the way, but you could have been more effective if you didn't go on a temper tantrum or a pity party for 25, 30 years, or 10 years, the last 5 years. Get into the things of God, and don't let what the devil says, what people say, stop you and say, well, you know, I got hurt at church. Well, so what? We've all been hurt. I've been hurt several times in church. I've never left the church and never left teaching. And I mean, we get criticized and people say all kinds of stuff. But you still have to go. That's how it is. And that's called spiritual development, spiritual growth. So let's ask the question right now. What is spiritual growth? Well, let's go here and read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and read something here. What is spiritual growth? But have nothing to do with irreverent folklore. I'm reading the Amplified, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Irreverent folklore and silly myths, but on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. For physical training is of value, but godliness or spiritual training is of value in everything and every way, since it holds the promise of this present life and for the world to come. Two things about spiritual growth, spiritually being spiritually fit. You know, you need to be spiritually fit. You know, everybody is spiritual, but not everybody is spiritually fit. We all are spirit beings, and there's some people that haven't really developed their spirit, and they haven't grown. I read something the other day. Somebody said, you know, it was kind of a joke about being, he said he's spiritual, and I mean, there was other things mentioned, but, you know, kind of funny. We all have our definition of what spiritual is, you know, spiritual growth, or what being spiritual is. Everybody is spiritual, even if you're not born-again Christian. There's a lot of people that are spiritual, and they're sensitive to the things of the Spirit, and maybe cut the wrong spirits, and they're speaking with demons or devils or, angelic beings that are not from God. But we need to know what's the right spirit to speak to. So, so being spiritual affects you. You know, somebody said the scripture does say this, that the only thing that follow you in the afterlife is what you do here on earth. All your works follow you. Scripture says that when you die, all that you did for God will follow you into the next life. And you'll be rewarded for it. You know, God doesn't forget anything you do for Him. You know, the money you bring to God, the tasks and the duties you did for Him, all the stuff that you do and what you did for the Lord. It all comes back, you know, in your next life. So don't be discouraged. If no one sees what you do and it matters to God, then, you know, it'll matter to you. So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Speaking of spiritual growth, There's many people who just drift away of the things of God. And they didn't take heed. They didn't listen to the things they should have heard. Shouldn't do so. They just went ahead, and now they're mixed in with the rest of the crowd, and you can't tell the difference if they're Christian or not. There are some people that are acting like they're not Christian. You just read their Facebook, and you see all the stuff that's going on. You think they were not even saved, the way they talk and what they do and how they joke and what they say. So we need to be careful about that. I'm not criticizing you. If you're my Facebook friend, I'm not criticizing you. We're all at different levels of spiritual development, and that's what I see happening. So, but if you're going to be mean, then that's another story. And if you're criticizing everybody, criticizing the government, and mean, and the Bible says, don't say things that are mean to people. And don't speak against the government, even if they are wrong. And what we have to do is pray for them. So we must learn that. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 says, but you must continue. Remember, it says you must continue to believe the truth and stand firmly in it. Now look at this. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world. And I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. This is Colossians 1:23. I'm reading the New Living Translation. He said a couple of things in there. You must continue to believe. You know, the word believe is an action word. It's a verb. When you say you believe something, let's see it in your action. If you say you believe something, let's see something that you're doing that actually corresponds to what your word said. If you say you believe in something, let's see the action. And so you must look at your own self. And you ask yourself the question, if I believe in that, what am I showing myself that I'm actually believing that? But if your actions don't correspond to what you say, then you need to make some changes. It also says in that verse of scripture that don't drift away from the assurance. So it tells us that you can drift away, you can get off track, and some have and some are, and you need to learn how to pull yourself back. And you can pull yourself back in by just being honest with yourself. God says Mark 4 talks about honest Christians. Honest Christians are people who can just be honest with themselves and correct themselves and get back in. So you can do that today. You don't have to wait for tomorrow or wait for somebody to correct you or for God to knock you over the head with something and get you on track. And let's go over here to Psalm 37:31. The Amplified Bible says, the law of God is in his heart. Not one of his steps will slip. When we're walking with God as in our spiritual growth, God will not allow you to slip. He'll keep you strong. Even if you're right in the midst of making mistakes, he's going to keep you. And if you have an honest heart, you will hear from God and you'll correct yourself. And you say, hey, I could have slipped over that bend here and fall down in this embankment and be there for a while. But God will help you. By his Holy Spirit, he's got his angels there to help you. You know, I've heard, one time one of our teachers at Rhema said, it's very hard to get off track. If you're a Christian, it's very hard to backslide. You know, you got to have somebody to help you, to get off track. Because God's Holy Spirit is always there, his word's there. He's going to keep you. So you have to say, understand and believe that there's no way you're going to fall off if you want to walk with God. It's those people who are not careful who slip back and just get off track. So those are encouragements I want to give you this morning to help you to stay on track. So spiritual growth, what is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is the training and development of the born-again human spirit. Spiritual growth is the training and development of the born-again human spirit. Now, when we say spiritual growth, we're talking about the inward man being developed, being strengthened by the Word of God. Spiritual growth is what happens on the inside of you that actually shows up on the outside. So you feed yourself with the Word of God. The Word of God nourishes, strengthens, develops your spirit. Your spirit has to be stronger than your flesh, than the desires of your flesh. Your spirit must be stronger than your mind. Lots of people, their mind is taking the lead in all that they do. They don't ask their spirit anything. They don't look to their spirit for guidance. They ask their head. Psalm 37 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your head. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So it's not our head. Our head should correspond. You should ask yourself, is your thinking in line with your spirit, what you got in your spirit? So your spirit is not your head or your soul. Your soul is different from your head. So spiritual development is learning how to walk from the inside out, how to be led by the Spirit from the inside, how to make decisions from the inside, and walk from the inside and overcome the dictates of the flesh or the mind. And that's not always easy. It's not automatic, because you could fall into a trap any time to follow your desire, your own desires. And, you know, if you're not careful, that understanding or that knowing will be indistinct to you. You'll overpass what God wants you to do, and you'll just follow your head and follow your flesh and not let the Spirit take the lead. And so I encourage you to develop that. So spiritual growth is all about being led, being developed on the inside, and letting that inside be so strong that it could lead your life instead of your head alone. Your head is, you know, you're part of your soul. Your soul needs to grow. So what happens when we are born again, our spirits has to be so strong and developed in the things of God that we know how to make decisions from the inside out, not from the outside in. Because sometimes people look for, when they're making decisions, they look at circumstances to dictate whether or not they're going to do something. That's not how you make decisions when you're a Christian, or you shouldn't be making decisions as a Christian alone. So circumstances alone should not be the only way you make decisions, because sometimes things can look right or sound right, but it could not be what God wants you to do. So learn how to do this thing. So after somebody becomes born again, it's necessary to feed on the Word of God and adopt God's way of life. Spiritual growth of a person depends on the individual's ability to read and meditate on the Word of God and start acting on the Word of God, the truth that they found and or discovered in the Word, God's Word, and act on that Word, make it their first initiative to follow that Word. Time does not equate growth, but it's exercising one's heart through the hearing of the Word does. So just because you've been born again for 20 years doesn't mean you're 20 years, at a level of 20 years of spirituality. Just because you've been born again for a long time, you know, you could be born again in a church and be there for 20 years and never grow beyond what someone has taught you or what you haven't used. So there's some people that come into the body of Christ to get born. They're hungry and eager for the Word. They're reading the Word. They want to follow God's Word. They're following His will. And they're growing leaps and bounds and growing. And sadly, some people just fall away after a number of years, a few years. I've seen that happen, you know, because they let something take them out. And they let anger take them out. They let resentment take them out. They somehow, the devil gets to them and they're out. Now they're out. They have a hard time coming back in. I've seen that in my life. I've seen just my very short life. And some of them, you know, once they get back, it's very hard to try to swim back up, because just your flesh wants to take over. And if you're, you know, you can be, lied to by your flesh. So don't do that. So don't neglect your inner man. Learn to feed yourself every day on the Word of God. If you're going to grow up spiritually, the Word is number one. You need to feed yourself on the Word of God and feed on the areas on the Bible where you need it. If you need spiritual growth in the area of your character, read stuff that develops your character. If you need stuff if you've just been dishonest all your life, you're a robber, you're a liar, you lied lots, find scriptures that deal with that and start meditating on that and follow what it says. If you've been a person who has been promiscuous and you ran around and you slept around and committed adultery, it's been a way of life for you, find scriptures that talk about that. Feed on it, meditate on it, and begin to act on what the Word says concerning that area. If you're somebody that has a problem with believing God and you lived in poverty all your life, you don't see any way out of poverty, feed yourself on the Word to talk about how to get all your needs met and begin to act on what God says concerning that area. Feed yourself on that area. Say, you can be strong in one area and weak in another area. So learn to be a well-rounded Christian. Feed yourself in different areas. So you don't just go to the gym and work on your arms. Well, what about your legs? What about your chest? What about your back? What about your, you know, your toes, whatever? And so work on something. Don't just work in one area. So learn how to develop your area. And then eat right, sleep right. You know, everybody has to develop themselves. So don't neglect your inner man. We all heard the development of man's intellect, of the mind, or through academic education and training. And furthermore, we understand the necessity of training our physical bodies through exercising. But the majority of the time, we've neglected our spirits, our inner man. Particularly in these last days, it's extremely important to train, educate our inner nature. When one fails to grow up spiritually, there's not only a hardship in life, but a failure to follow the perfect plan of God. Romans 12:3 says that there's a perfect will of God. Because the unrenewed mind or unrenewed nature of man has been the driving force of many. So the unrenewed mind, you know, you get born again, your spirit is brand new, but your mind is still the same mind you had before you were born again. So when you get born again, your mind doesn't get born again. You have the same mind. So it's your responsibility to start rewiring your mind, to develop your mind and to think like God thinks. And that's why a lot of people have a hard time to think like God. God says you're healed when you're sick. God says you're rich when you're broke. It's hard for your natural mind to get around that. God says you're strong when you're weak. So it's hard for your mind to get around that, but you've got to start thinking like God. Think like what God says. God has provided everything we need through Jesus. And so we have to educate ourselves and begin to believe that and act like it so, however you can act the word of God. So we have to train our inner nature. And when we fail to develop, we'll get into hardships God has never wanted us to get into. So, you know, when people go through a hard time in the body of Christ, it's not because the devil sends them stuff. It's because they fail to develop in certain areas. And when hard times come, they don't know how to respond from the inside and overlook what their mind is telling them and what the situation is saying. If you look to the inside, they'll progress further. And so we need to develop from the inside. That's what spiritual growth is, developing our character, developing our inward nature, developing on the love of God on the inside of us, developing on the faith of God on the inside of us, overcoming obstacles and going forward. So we need to redefine spiritual growth sometimes in some areas. Some have strange ideas about what spiritual growth is and how to develop inwardly. God has defined for us what it means to grow up spiritually. Let's look at a good definition of spiritual growth. So in defining of a spiritual growth, as we talked about, it's a development and a training of the human heart through feeding and exercising on the Word of God. So that's a pretty good definition. So spiritual growth is the development and training of the human heart through feeding and exercising on the Word of God. In spiritual growth, a person is able to follow God's will and plan without compromising and the important truths and principles they've discovered in the Word of God. So in the end, spiritual growth is the training and development of the born-again human spirit. That's what it is. So our human spirit needs to be born. So you have to understand this if you need to reacquaint yourself with this idea that number one, you're a spiritual being. Number two, you possess a soul. The word soul in the Greek is the word psyche or psuche. I'm not sure how to correct pronunciation of it. Psuche. It means, you know, it involves the mind and the imaginations and the thoughts of man and the emotions. So that's what the psyche is all about. So how you think will affect how you feel in life. What you think really, really determines where you're going to be in the future. So that's why it talks about it in Proverbs 4 when it talks about the condition of the heart determines our future. It's important to really, really develop our mind, our thinking. So, and thirdly, we live in a physical body. Our bodies has its own way of making decisions. You know, your body has what we call feelings. You know, it can hurt physically. It can feel hot. It can feel cold. It can feel hungry. It can feel tired. And all these physical impulses, natural impulses, can dictate someone's life. You know, say, for instance, when someone is a drug addict, their body takes control over their lives. And so their spirit has nothing to do with decision-making. Their body controls their lives. Like somebody who's addicted to pornography, their body and mind takes over their lives. Someone who can't stop smoking, their body has hijacked them. Somebody who has a problem with any one of these physical things, their body has hijacked their life into a place where they're to a place where they're almost destroyed. And so that's why it's important for us to develop our human spirit so that our body is not hijacked in life. And so, I've heard this saying many years ago from a man of God I followed, that he says, you know, some people, their whole flesh is dictating their whole life and leading them right down to destruction. And, if you're a guy given to appetite, it could develop and destroy your life before the time. It's not God's will that you die early. It's because you failed to develop your spirit, and your spirit has been locked away, so to speak, and your body has taken over your whole life. And you're just feeding on appetites. And if you can see that in Scripture, and we'll be looking at this another time, perhaps, where your body just hijacks your whole life, or your mind. It's not about what you think about it. Ask yourself, the way you're thinking right now, does that line up with God's Word? Is that thinking in line with the Word of God? And so if it's not, then you need to correct yourself and follow your spirit. What does the Word of God say? You know, I've heard somebody put on, and I belong to this one little club, spiritual believers, and said, Brother Hagin used to ask himself, in every decision he made, I'm talking about major decisions he made as a minister, as a man of God, will that decision, or what I say, how will that affect someone? What I do, how is that going to affect other people? So we need to all ask ourselves, any decision you make, how is that going to affect people? You know, I think about my own life. I'm just a little guy here up north, and of course I've got a television ministry that goes across the nation, and my mistakes can impact a whole pile of people in this city. City officials, people who don't, not even Christian, will be affected. Different ones. So if you think about it, you can pray for this ministry, pray for our leadership team, pray for our people here. Because, when you're thrust, I didn't ever want to be in the leadership of a ministry, because I realized the magnitude of the impact of that position, and you can feel the pressure. I remember when I first decided to take on Spirit Alive as the director, I went through some anxiety thinking about, I didn't want to be on the spotlight. And I told myself, I don't want to be in the spotlight. The word of the Lord came over to me, and the man of God, the prophet of God, says that because God knew that I didn't want to be in the spotlight. In fact, I'm telling you today, you know, I see people doing different things. They're getting on their cell phones, and they're going online, they're preaching, and they're putting themselves on Facebook and all that stuff. For some reason, I don't want to do that unless God directs me. Because anybody can go online and start preaching. You got all kinds of preachers today. That's probably one of the signs of the times, is that everybody's got some kind of preaching, a ministry going on, and no one sent them, nobody's trained them, they decided to appoint themselves, they're going to go online and start teaching. I would question any one of my people in our church who's doing that. I would question them, what are you doing? Why are you on television? I remember Brother Hagin used to say he was going to write some books and do some things, and he thought about it, and he asked somebody else about what they were doing. They said, I'm going to write a book and make some money. And the Lord spoke to him and said, don't do it unless I tell you, basically. And don't do it unless, you've been directed by the Holy Spirit, God to do certain things. And you ever notice that when the Lord leads you, it lasts long. Some of these guys, they go online every day. How long is that going to last? They don't have that much to say about the Lord. You can just go ahead and blabble all day long. But you need some substance in what you say. And, we need to be careful to follow the will of God. Anyway, that's just extra. You don't have to pay for that. I'm just going to give that out. So some people have strange ideas of what spiritual growth is. And, you know, when I came in the body of Christ, I thought spiritual growth was a lot of things, which is not today. So a good definition of spiritual growth is we talked about the development of the human spirit. So how do we find out if we need to grow up spiritually? So we say, it's time to grow up. You ever ask yourself, it's time, I'm going to grow up right now? And about this time every year in January, every year everybody has some kind of a plan until the end of the month. And they're going to follow God closely. They're going to pray. They're going to fast. They got all these spiritual things they're going to do. They're going to go to church more. They're going to help more and give out more. In fact, I get calls from different people. Oh, I just want to find out what God wants me to do. I said, well, just show up here. We'll give you something to do. Come up next week and clean something. Oh, they don't want to clean. They want to prophesy. They want something bigger. They want to get on stage, start singing, whatever. No, just go ahead and start cleaning. There's one lady on my ministry team, you know, she joined the church many years ago now. I found her in Red Lake, Ontario, was preaching and brought her into the kingdom of God by through prayer and talked to this person. And she hung with us ever since then. Been almost as long as I've been in the ministry, she's been here. And so the first ministry I gave her was, you start cleaning the toilets. And she started cleaning the toilets year after year after year. And now she's on my board. I can trust somebody like that. They'll tell me straight out what I need to hear, and I can trust them because they hung around, and I see they're giving. They give. They give regularly. They tithe, too. Yes, I said tithe and give offerings. And you can believe people like that. You can't believe someone who's just sporadically giving, you know, they're giving when it's convenient, you know, they're here when it's convenient. No, you're going to trust someone's character. And you can trust people. You can see them day after day or year after year, how they're living. And so thank God for that. Now, how can you tell if you need spiritual growth? Number one, let's ask some questions. I'll give you 10 things and you can start off with that. What time is it here? It's like we've been teaching for some time now. We might have to have a 5-part series on this introduction. Okay. Number one, here's some things. We have to look closely at the Word and examine ourselves from Scripture and see the necessity of how to determine personal growth, personal development. Here's some evaluative questions. Number one, how often do we read the Bible? How often do you read your Bible? Number one, always, like, you know, every day, maybe 2 times a day or 3 times a day. Sometimes, never, or only during a time of crisis. So ask yourself, how often do I read my Bible? Do I read my Bible all the time? Do I read it every day? Do I read it in the morning, at night, or whenever I want throughout the day? Pull out my Bible, I read it, or, you know, when I'm at a, you know, somewhere, I got some time, I got 2 minutes to look at a scripture. How do I read it always? Or do I never read my Bible? Do I read it sometime? You know, just take it or leave it. Some people, they act like the Word of God, oh, I can take it or leave it. Just read when I want to read it. I'll leave it off for 2 weeks or a month and don't read my own Bible. Never feed myself. What if you said that to yourself? Well, I'm going to give up eating for several weeks here, and I'm not going to eat anything. Well, pretty soon you're going to be really weak, and you won't develop. You'll lose some weight too, though. Might not be too bad. So only do you read it in a crisis situation? So that's a question to ask yourself. Number two, what kind of time do you devote to spiritual activity like helping and serving other people, going to church, praying for other people, not for yourself, for other people, compared to like what you do for physical training and social activities? If you compare yourself with your social activities, doing things for yourself, social reasons, you know, you like to visit your grandma. You know, visiting grandma is fine, but if you're going to visit grandma on times when you should be in church, that's another story. You know, you could help grandma another time. Some people have said this to me, oh, I can't, I got to go spend time with grandma. Well, grandma can wait for an hour, and you can take her out afterwards or bring her to church or whatever. I mean, this time we can't do it because of COVID. People are very, you know, sick and stuff. But so do you pray for other people? For instance, I tell people my life, you know, I don't, not to showcase my spirituality, but you, as a leader, you have to tell people what you do. How are they going to learn if you don't tell them? So I walk around this area in the Kern River. I walk 40 minutes, an hour. And I'll rock in the bush, whatever. And sometimes my wife wants to walk with me and my daughter and with the dog. So sometimes I said, no, I got to be by myself. I pray. So I pray for an hour and pray most of the time in the Holy Ghost and hit some areas where I need to. And I pray for my community. I'll pray for the city of Thunder Bay. I pray for the government. I pray for Trudeau. I pray for my chief back home. I'll pray for the chief of police and all the other chiefs that you can imagine. And so thank God we can pray and devote ourselves. Thank God. Then you feel so good after you pray for other people. Man, you just feel good. Feel like a spiritual giant. Try it sometime. Anyway. So compare yourself about how much you devote spiritual activity to other activities, natural activities, physical activities, those for social reasons. And number three, how often do you attend corporate gatherings like special conferences and Bible courses, workshops that they put up in churches or weekly church activities, leadership development, ministry of health training, prayer meetings at the church, learning to incorporate how to work with your community through the church. How often do you do those things in corporate gatherings of the church for those kind of things? And is that consistent, or do you do every 6 years, every 10 years? Or is that something you do regularly? Or is it a hit and miss thing? One time, you miss it. You miss it that time, and then you never go back to it. So ask yourself that question. We're talking about how to know your spiritual development. Number four, do you have spiritual goals like you do for your finances or your money? Do you developing your intellect or your mind? Do you have your family goals and personal goals? Do you have goals? Do you have spiritual goals? Do you have spiritual goals like, I need to hear from God more often. I want to spend more time with God. I want to spend more time in the Word. I want to not only just spend time in the Word, but I want to hear God say something to me. I want to be in a position to hear God in my spirit, develop my spirit to the point where I can hear God very quickly. A lot of times people have to, I learned something from, listen, Brother Hagin over here, following him for many, many years. People ask me, what is God saying this year, what's the word for 2020? Well, it's the same word he said last year. He doesn't just hand out special words because the clock ticked over to the next year or the calendar flipped over to the next year. God's talking to you continually, and he might tell you something different for this year. He might tell you an emphasis, but you ever notice some ministries, they got a big emphasis on different things. Every year they got a special thing, put on this big special thing, so that you can give them more money. They might sound spiritual. But God, he's always talking to you. And Brother Hagin used to say, you don't have to. If you follow God every single day and you're close to God every single day, you won't be scrambling the ground December 31st and trying to hear God speak to you. And if he did speak, you'll know it is him because he's been speaking to you before. You don't need no prophet to talk to you. Everybody is a prophet under the kingdom of God in these last days, the Bible says. Because we all have the spirit of prophecy in us. We all have Jesus in us. Spirit of prophecy is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And so we need to see that. So do we have spiritual goals? Number five, do you have a mentor? And this is an area where a lot of folks have a problem because they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. No, a mentor doesn't tell you what to do, but he can tell you some stuff that you might not like. Mentors, you don't have to, I wouldn't want that pressure as a mentor to be responsible to tell people what to do. So a mentor to help you, does she or he help you? What areas are you working on right now as far as the mentorship is concerned? What are you working on? Is there some area that you need to work on? I was telling my staff, I said, I'm really happy that I had a really mentor. In fact, I got a message from my old mentor from the very first pastor I had. Give me a message yesterday and let me know how dear I am to her over the years. She raised me up and she taught me. She was very, very a person of discipline. She said, what's your weekly goals? What's your monthly goals? Do you write these down? Where are you spending your money? How much are you devoting to the Lord? Are you fighting with your wife? What are you fighting about? What's your next plan for the next 3 months? What's your sex life like? Is that affecting you? Have problems with pornography? Whatever it is, you know, that lady trained us, my wife and I. You know, every month she would sit down and talk to us about different things, and so it developed us to a place where we was able to think like this on a regular basis. And so that's why we have leadership development. We've had leadership training for many, many years. If it wasn't for COVID, we'd have them right now. We make sure we spend time. And so we've been doing this for many years. We got back from Rhema, I think it's 2000, we got back. And we kick-started a brand new thing called Spiritual Leadership Essentials. And we developed that program at 3 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours of meetings every month for 25 years, 20 years. And we've been teaching that. We've trained a lot of folks, and they've come there and helped them out. And it's for spiritual development. We know what's so important to us and for everyone else to have it. Now, here's another question. What areas would you like to develop on regarding spiritual matters? Do you have a list, or do you have written down anything that would tell you what you want to develop in? So you need to have a list. Number 7, do you have a hard time forgiving people or yourself? So ask yourself, you know, do you carry resentments? Are you angry at people? That'll hinder you from following God. That'll hinder you from getting healed. That'll hinder you from receiving your finances and you believe in God. These things, they don't just go away. They'll hinder you to the place where you're so vexed that you have problems emotionally. So learn to deal with these areas. Do you spend time trying to recover from setbacks? So if you have a hard time in church, you have a setback or something happened to your life, how long does it take for you to get back up again? Does it take 6 months, a year? Or do you just say, well, I had a setback, this gets going again? So these things, it all depends on how strong you are on the inside of you. Learn how to develop yourself on the inside. So don't let setbacks affect you. Number 9, how would you say your love walk is compared to last year? Talk about your love walk. Say how, you know, we want to develop spiritually. So your love walk is extremely important. Your love walk is about how you treat people, how you respond to different things, to people when ugly things happen. Your love walk is when you bless people when they don't deserve it. You bless your enemy when you don't. You pray for them when they don't. And you say nice things to them. Even though they don't deserve it, you find something nice to say to somebody, even on your Facebook, when they've been mean to you. So don't lash out. So how's your love walk? Number 10, is your faith stronger than last year, or is it weaker? Are you able to fly more with your faith than you ever had in your whole life? Or are you depending on mama? So these are things that I'm talking about spiritual growth, spiritual development, and we're going to talk about stages of development, characteristics of every stage of development. We're going to spend some time in doing that. And so I want to share with you some things. So there are times when we have a tendency to slip in our growth, and perhaps, we don't like to always mention the fact we have slipped back into something. It's usually when we have neglected to take care of our spiritual life. It can be very devastating for us when we don't take in consideration our inward nature. The spirit of man needs to develop in the fruit of the spirit and not slip back into carnal lifestyles. Let's see here what Paul says in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25, New Living. You just might watch the screen there if you don't have this version. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Now, I realize this Bible version is a paraphrase Bible, and sometimes it doesn't have the right, correct translation the way it should. Sometimes it says in there, if you read the King James, it talks about there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. He He's not talking about the Holy Spirit inside you fighting with your flesh on the inside. It's talking about your inward nature, your born-again nature, and your outward nature is having a battle. So he's not talking about the Holy Spirit fighting with your body to follow God. It's your inward man fighting your outward man. So that's called the spirit. There's a spiritual battle going on. Now, read it in conjunction with that kind of thinking and the right connotation here. So it says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives so that you won't be doing what your spiritual sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Now, I'm going to say something here. Even though you're born again, your sinful nature, your carnal nature, is not born again. It still will want to do the things it used to do when you were not saved. But now that you're saved, it'll still want to do those same things it did before. So you have to be careful. And this is how some Christians fall back into the old life, and they get discouraged, and finally they're out there. They haven't been back to church for 10 years, 20 years. And so they get confused, and they think it's, they can never overcome this. So be careful. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under the obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality. It's funny, it comes with the sexual part in people's lives when you follow your flesh. Impurity, that's still a sexual thing. Lustful pleasures are still in that same area. Idolatry. We do idolatry a little bit different than just getting a little idol and worshiping it. There's other things we worship more than that. Maybe hockey could be an idol for a lot of Christians or a lot of Christian Canadians. Hockey is number one in their lives. They spend all their money there, all their time there, all their family goes to do all that activity, and it becomes an idol to them. So they want to be a star. They want to make the money. They want all that. But why? Because, what's the use in getting all that if you're going to lose your child and lose your family and you gain, the Bible says, what is it that you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Well, that's something you think about. Anyway, I know a pastor friend of mine, his kid was in a high level of hockey, and he never did get that kid to come to church and lost a whole lot of stuff. But they were in hockey, right? But they lost a lot of stuff. But when you're directed by the Holy Spirit, you're not under the obligation of the law of Moses. When you follow your desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, and I have said before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let me just stop there and say this for self-control. We have more control than we think we have. People are not told that they can control themselves. We need to give permission to people to start controlling themselves and let them know you can control these things. You can control your mind. You can control what you're doing. People say, I don't have any control. No, you don't. No, that's not true. You do have control. Okay. Anyways, that's another little rant I have. So all these things here. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and have crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 25, New Living. So don't act like the world, like Romans 12 says. We have a choice. We can act like the world, copy the customs and ways of the world, adopt their way, lifestyle as a Christian, or you can follow what God wants by the Spirit, following the Word. How do you do that? You start renewing your mind. And when we renew your mind, you can trust your mind, because if you think like God, you can follow the will of God. And so failure to develop can cause us to to be in a lot of trouble, even coming to spiritual blindness. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. We're going to close here in a few minutes tonight, because I think we're stretching this time up. Okay. In view of all this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provisions of moral excellence. Moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. Self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you'll be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted, blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their old sins. So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to improve that you really are among God and as called, has chosen. Do these things, and you'll never fall away. So God's word is telling us, if we practice and do these things and our desires to follow this way, we will never fall away. So it's time to grow up. Hebrews chapter 5, and the Common English Bible says this: although you should have been teachers by now, you need someone to teach you an introduction to the basics about God's message. You have come to the place where you need milk instead of solid food. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the Common English Bible. So it tells us there's some Christians who should be further ahead than they should have. And it tells us right in the scriptures that what you need now is someone else to teach you still. You should be more spiritual, but in your development, more growth in your development, but you still need a lot of help. So you have to decide that and be honest about it. You can't just go around asking. I mean, you might ask somebody. Somebody might tell you that you need development. But it's very difficult for people to go around just asking people. Go on Facebook, ask that question. What do I need to develop? You'll see what happens very quickly. This afternoon, as your status said, what do I need, people? I want you to tell me. What do I need to grow on? And they'll tell you. And you might not want to hear that, because they can tell you all kinds of stuff, be unfair to you. But, there's some, very seldom over the years ever come to my office and say, Pastor, listen, I need to grow spiritually. Please help me out. I've been struggling with this. Do you think I need help with that? I have that conversation with someone. No one's been that honest to say, Pastor, I need help. I've been struggling with pornography. I had a couple times like that with some folks. My staff members. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a staff member. But somebody came and said that to me. And I said, okay, we can help. I get, we get people to talk to them. We get the right people. Some people say, I got a problem with stealing. Well, we'll help you out with that. Smoking or whatever, drinking, different things. So people have some problems. Most of the time it has to do with their feelings, having problems with resentments. Those are the hardest things that people can forgiving other people. Those are the toughest things that people can go to get over. It takes a lot of work to go through these areas. So there are many in the church who lack spiritual growth. This is unnecessary, as there's opportunity and availability for development in the church. So there's a lot of ways to grow. I believe in the church, we try to develop a nest here so that people can make mistakes, can go through different things, and we give self-awareness so that people to tell people, hey, we can make mistakes here. We all have problems. Every one of us has some area, an issue that we're working on. And so it's safe to work in that area. It's when someone's not honest about it. That's when the problem is. So if you're not honest and you keep making mistakes and hurting everybody around you, then that becomes a big problem. And so, but if you're honest and say, hey, I have a problem, guys, I'm working on it, help me out, then you have a relationship. If you're in your own house, if you're a husband, wife, and children, and so on, and one of them has a problem, then it affects the whole house. If somebody has a smoking problem or a drug issue or an alcohol issue I'm not sure, maybe it could be anything else, it could be anger issue. I mean, I remember as a kid, I had an anger issue, and my family knew it, I knew it, and so I had to work on it. It wasn't easy. Some of us in the body of Christ need to work on telling the truth. Stop lying. And so these different things, it's all out there. So, you know, let's not kid ourselves. We all have issues, all of us. Every one of us has it. There's nobody in the church that's not working something. So we all need to develop. We never get to a place, I will never get to a place where I say, oh, I'm the greatest. I don't need any spiritual growth. When we get to that level, a place that we know this guy's in a very dangerous situation. So we need constant reminders, constant development in our lives to help us grow spiritually. So don't feel bad about it. We need solid teaching in the Word and opportunities in the church and to work among spiritual people that we can work on ourselves. Paul seemed to think that way about the Hebrew Christians. They were lacking opportunity, but they were lacking in determining and motivating themselves. So the church today has an array of teaching through ministries on television, online training, internet, and different things, and podcasts and so on, and people's websites give free teaching. So we can have gold conferences even online. So there's no shortage of learning and developing. We need to grow. In the church, we can have all these things. So God expects us to grow, and He wants us to grow. Let's finish off with this Hebrews 5. There's much more we'd like to say. This is a New Living Translation, chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. There's much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you're spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You know, I don't know if anybody's called me spiritually dull, but apparently the Holy Ghost said this to Apostle here. I guess you can be spiritually dull. You have been believers for so long that you ought to be teaching others. Since you need someone else to teach you again the basic things about God's Word, you're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between good and right and wrong. Hebrews 5, 1 to 11 to 14. So we've all struggled with different things over the years. None of us has been immune to having been, you know, dull in different areas. So I want to encourage you today, whatever it is, find people that you trust. Find a good church. Find a good pastor. Come on over here. If you're out there somewhere, you need a church, come on over here. If God's talking to you, just come over. Learn. Put yourself down. Get yourself in. Sign yourself up. Be humble. Get involved. Allow people to see your life, what it's truly like. You know, we live in a glass house. There's nothing in my life, in my wife's life, in our home, that people don't know about in this city. They know about our kids. They know about what I do. They know about everything about me. So as a Christian, as a man of God, you cannot be intimidated by that fact. That's just the nature of what you're going to. So if you're going to be a leader, that's the thing that you're going to have to face every day. And if you're going to do anything in life and you're afraid to what people are going to say, then you better not go into leadership. That's the wrong thing for you. Or you need to have some real development and come talk to me and people like myself. They'll tell you. You're not going to have any, you know, like they say, you know, you can't just fly through life through with any problems. So I encourage you today, find somebody that can help you and learn to be humble. Encourage yourself. So let's pray right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for my brother and sister out there who's having a hard time. And maybe this is one of the happiest days of their life, whoever this is. That they found something this morning, a truth that they've learned, something that I've said that might have been strange to other people hearing it, but someone else got the word that I had to say something like this. Thank you, Lord God. I want to thank you for the unadulterated word of God, that people can hear the word at their level. I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit touching lives, changing lives, healing, relieving, encouraging, relieving people from their bondages, destroying yokes this morning. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to give you praise, Father. I pray for those that are sick right now in body. I pray the healing anointing of God, the ointment of God will flow in that body, affect the healing and the cure for you in the name of Jesus. I pray those people who are in bondage to addictions of any sort, any kind of vice, anything that binds them, I break the power over them in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. I apply the blood of Jesus over them and call you to be free. Walk away from that right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for direction. I thank you for leading the Spirit, that you'll lead each one of these people, each one of these saints of God, through encouragement and leading of the Spirit of God. They'll have peace in their lives, finally. We give you praise, Father, for a life change this morning. And those of those people who've never had Jesus as their Lord, these will say, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon Jesus, say, Jesus, save me, and he'll save you. We thank you, Father, for that. Call upon his name. Call upon Jesus. Say, Jesus, save me. I will follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.